Oh, thank you, Peter. I'll add my greeting to you this morning. How lovely to be here and lovely to see you all, and a very warm welcome to all of you. We are carrying on through Matthew's Gospel, and we're up to the end of chapter 4, just before the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. As we get started today, what distinction would you make between local mission and international mission? What does local mission look like to you? What do you think of when you think of local mission? Neighbours, I think I heard someone say.
Church meeting on Sunday.
Okay, talk to the person next to you. You've got 30 seconds. Tell them something that comes to mind. Put it there. Okay, that's your 30 seconds. Do we have any more thoughts to add? What comes to mind when you think of local mission? Anyone willing to share what they've been chatting about? The foot clinic, yeah, something that's reaching our local community. Yes, it's a one. I was there on Wednesday. That is an amazing ministry. Yeah, well done to everyone involved. Ron?
An individual's reputation in his community.
A person's reputation in his or her community. People, just us ourselves as we are, as we relate to others. It's part of our local mission. What else do we hear? Oh, sorry. Oh, Jenny. I'll hear Jenny then Bev. Jenny, off you go. We can hear you. Yep.
Just like we know the next media, she's my neighbour.
Yes.
And I often see her, she's going out to the middle of the bus, and I'm comfortable just coming for a cup of tea, you know, because she needs it. She's got to keep her eyes open on the neighbours.
Okay, so responding to needs that you're seeing around you, being involved in the community life of your community, of your neighbours, and being willing to go and sit down and have a cup of tea and build those connections. Yep, wonderful. Thank you. Thanks, Jenny. Bev, I think you were...
Rest homes.
Rest homes?
Many and varied around the place, and they all have people who are sitting, not able to get out themselves.
Yes. Okay, so we see need around us and the rest homes around us where people are not able to get out so much anymore, and there's an opportunity there to be ministering in that environment. Anyone else wanting to add something?
Our families.
Yeah.
On the street.
And on the street, whoever you see. Yeah, absolutely. And we do have some people... We can strike up conversations. Hey, wonderful. I love hearing your input and all those great thoughts there about what local mission looks like. I set out on this passage thinking, well, it's right before the Sermon on the Mount. It's going to be preparing us to look at the Sermon on the Mount. And then I thought, actually, what the Lord's speaking to me about this is that this is Jesus' strategy for local mission. This is how Jesus began his local mission. So let's see what he does and take notice. We're his disciples as well. So just like the first disciples have started following him and watching him and learning from him, we're in the same boat. We're going to do that same thing. So last week in Matthew 4, we saw Jesus calling the first disciples and they started to follow him. And in that culture, following a rabbi or a teacher, you're spending your whole time with that person. And watching them and learning from them and learning that, listening to their teachings. So Jesus has started to build a team of disciples and build them up. And we saw that he went around Galilee in the northern region, which Isaiah told us, again, last week's message. It was a region that had been in some sense of disgrace. It was earlier to leave God's ways in the history of Israel. And really, it's a backwater. It's away from the political centre. It's away from the trade centre. It's away from the religious centre of Jewish worship. And in this place, Jesus chooses to start his ministry. In this forgotten corner. And we even said Capernaum might be a little bit like Nelson. Pleasant climate. Big but not too big, small but not too small, just right. So Jesus is starting his mission in Galilee. And in this, I think we're seeing something. Matthew is drawing a parallel with what happened with Moses in the book of Exodus. And there's still a parallel going on here. Thinking back to Moses and his encounter with God, when God spoke to Moses in the burning bush, Moses said, "So who should I say is sending me? Who is this God? Who are you, God?" Because culturally, other cultures would name gods and have the sun god or the sea god or the tree god. And that gives you some sense of control, or gives people some sense of control. If there's a sun god, we know what that god does. Makes things hot, makes things light. We know what to say thank you for, and we know what to be annoyed about when there's a drought. So we can put that God in a box if people have that kind of idea of God. God says, I'm not giving you a name like the sun god or the tree god. God said to Moses, I am. You can't put God in a box. And the only way you're going to learn what this God is like is by revelation, is by walking with him. And as you walk with him in relationship, God will progressively reveal. And that's what happened to the people of Israel through the Old Testament. And that is what I think we're seeing here. It was announced that in Galilee, they would see a great light. And Jesus is beginning his ministry here. So what does that mean? Well, they can't start out putting Jesus in a box, expecting the political or military Messiah they were looking for. They're going to find out what this light is like, and they're going to find out what Jesus is like by walking with him and by God's continued revelation through Jesus. So there's a parallel. As Jesus starts calling his disciples and starts ministering, they start to see what this God is like and what Jesus is like. So we've got the beginning of Jesus' local mission strategy, and I'll go back to that reading, which is up there. There are three verbs that he does in this passage. The first is that he teaches. He goes to synagogues. He goes to the place where people expect to hear teaching about God. And the Old Testament scriptures are read, what we would call the Old Testament, what they might call the Hebrew scriptures, were read, and Jesus teaches and explains. And he's building on their faithfulness. He's building on the understanding that they already have. He's building on the desire that they already have and the habits of life and the patterns of life that are good in seeking God. His first strategy is he's going and he's teaching and he's taking a constructive approach to build on what people already know and where they're already at. That's our first verb. The second one is proclaiming. He's going out and announcing the kingdom. What does that mean? He's picking, oh, you have something you want to add here, Mart. Come on.
Announcing the kingdom
news? Yeah. What?
Yeah. So he's preaching and telling others that God's kingdom is near.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mart has just joined us today. So thank you, Mart. That's an excellent answer. You told me you'd been reading the book of Matthew, and you clearly have been doing very well. This is exactly right. Thank you. John the Baptist said, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. You have to repent. And the kingdom of God is near you. But exactly what that looks like is another thing that is going to be revealed. So Jesus is going out to the crowds. Step one, he went to the synagogues to teach them. He's also going out to the crowds and pointing to something greater. It's not exactly clear to them what that might look like in detail, but he's saying there is a greater reality. Something else is here. The kingdom of God is at hand. I have a theologian friend who describes this as like having bifocals. So glasses that have a reading lens in them and also a distant lens in them. That you can focus on one thing or another thing. You've got the ability to focus back and forth between both. And he says, we're in this reality, this immediate reality of our world, the present reality that we experience, and we're also seeing the reality of God's kingdom, which is coming but not yet in its fullness. Some of you will be familiar with that phrase, the kingdom is now but not yet. It's here but not fully here yet. So Jesus is proclaiming and lifting their eyes, pointing their vision to something beyond just what they're seeing now. Yes, there's a present reality, and the kingdom of God is near. It's at hand. It's close to you. That's Jesus' second verb. He goes out to the crowds and he's lifting their eyes to something greater and calling for something from them. There is a call to repent in there. The third thing we see is Jesus is healing. That's his third verb that we've got here. And the original language is so emphatic here. It says, it doesn't say healing sickness. You can see it up there, healing every disease and every affliction. Just in case you thought there were afflictions that are not diseases and diseases that are not afflictions. It's going to cover them both and heal all of them. Every disease and every affliction. And his fame spread, and then it goes on. He's still healing various, all the sick, and those afflicted with diseases and pains and oppressed by demons and having seizures and paralytics. He's going through all the categories. Matthew's just making this really emphatically clear. All of these. No exceptions. All and all and every condition that people are experiencing. Everyone. That is what Jesus is healing. We said Jesus is starting to reveal what the kingdom of heaven looks like. What an amazing picture that is. Let's just notice that all and every emphasis that Matthew is bringing to us here. This is Jesus' heart, to go to every person who is sick or experiencing pain or afflictions. There's a list, all and every. This is Jesus' heart. This is the kingdom that we long for in its fullness. And we know we are experiencing that now, but not yet kingdom, that we pray for God's kingdom to come increasingly now, and it is not here in its fullness. But let's just notice this is Jesus' heart for you. This is Jesus' heart for you, and this is Jesus' heart for those you love and those you pray for, to heal all and every illness, condition, pain, grief. That's good news, isn't it? It's good news. This is Jesus' heart for you. And we pray for increase now. And we live in the sure and certain hope that in the resurrection we will see that in its fullness. This is good news. So Jesus' ministry spreads beyond Galilee. And Peter looked at a map, so did I. So here's a map for you. Hopefully it's big enough to see. Oh, I think I actually have a little laser pointer on this. Oh, I do. Okay, so there, where that little red dot is circling around, that's Galilee, and that's Capernaum there, that little one. Nazareth is about up there. So Jesus is traveling around this region. Oops, we've gone ahead. There we go, wrong button. Jesus is traveling around this region, but people from Syria, all this region up here and out this way, are coming to him. And from the Decapolis, this region down here, and across the Jordan, this region here, and down in Judea and Jerusalem, all of these people are coming. What a long way to walk. But wouldn't you, if you had someone who might receive sickness, you would walk to? Mark, you have something else to say?
If word spreads that quickly during that time, imagine how faster it would be in the future.
Yep, word is spreading quickly. Yep, we're not given the time frame here, but imagine that. Word spreads quickly. It can spread very quickly, can't it? Okay, so Jesus is teaching, and we've seen these three verbs. He's teaching, he's constructively working with people. He's proclaiming, calling for repentance, but also directing their eyes to something greater. And he's meeting their practical needs and compassion and love, and we see his heart. And people are coming from this big region to come and meet with him. And then we are told Jesus sees the crowds. And at that point, he decides to go and sit down. Again, I'm going to draw out the parallel with the Exodus story. Because Moses, under God's leadership, led the people out of Israel, people of Israel out of Egypt, from all of their different tribes. And now we've got people from all these different tribes coming out to Jesus, and Jesus has noticed that the crowd has come to follow him. Back in Exodus, Moses then went up a mountain, because in Scripture, mountains are a place of encounter with God. Eden, four waters flowed out from it, so it must have been a high place. Moses met God on Mount Sinai and received the Ten Commandments. Elijah met God on Mount Carmel. Jesus goes up a mountain, but unlike Moses, who has to receive the teaching from God, Jesus directly himself teaches the people. He sits down and teaches. One greater than Moses is here. That was prophesied in Deuteronomy. And Matthew even has his teaching in five sections, just like the five sections of the Torah. So I found this lovely image on the internet of Jesus teaching, and I couldn't find out who the artist was, so I've put the credit of the website in the newsletter. But I love the way that light seems to, it's almost like a loudspeaker coming out from Jesus, the light that's going out over this crowd as Jesus is sitting down and begins to teach them. So our question is, what might we learn from Jesus about his approach to local mission? First thing is that he starts by building the disciples. That's us, Stoke Baptist. He starts building them into a team. We are a local team. And we're already doing some things. We've heard some of the things that are going on already this morning. And we're praying. You're praying for your starfish at one. You're praying for local mission. We're thinking about the things that we're already doing. We are praying. And Jesus starts off by teaching and building up his team. So Jesus continues to teach and build us up and mentor us and walk with us. So step one, we learn that Jesus' approach started by building his team. Step two, we learn that there were three different things Jesus did when he reached out to the crowd. He taught, which was constructive, building on what they know. He proclaimed there was a call in there that life might be different, but lifting their eyes to something beyond themselves. And he healed, he met their practical needs. Doesn't sound like a bad approach to local mission, does it? Building on what people know, taking a constructive approach, seeing what they ought, listening to them, seeing what understanding they have and building on that, supporting the positive that you see in your community. Pointing out, lifting our eyes, that left field sort of perspective, this is not all. Somehow our life witness to something beyond ourselves, beyond this present reality. There is a call to something more, pointing to something more. And then the third step was meeting practical needs. So we have practical needs that we're meeting, food basket for Women's Refuge, the foot clinic, we have other things, many other things that you're doing personally during your week. Let's keep our eyes open for those practical needs. Is that part of local mission? The final thing I noticed here is that Jesus' approach in his setting out his local mission is constructive and positive. Now, I know later on he confronts some of the religious leaders. It's not where he starts. He does confront them in the context of an ongoing dialogue, and when they start to persistently reject or oppose the good news that he's revealing, there is a place for that. But that confrontation did happen in a context. It's not where he started. He started by building on what people have, people understand. And I think this is so important in our current cultural context. You will be aware of the increasingly polarized and divisive narratives that we get on our news media. And social media has not helped that, where people in the internet, where people can put forth an opinion boldly without seeing the effect on someone else's face if they say hurtful words. And that people can increasingly listen to their preferred voices. Sometimes that's called an echo chamber, when someone surrounds themselves only with voices that they like, the opinions that they like, and they become increasingly polarized in their positions. Let's not become part of this. Because Christians, just like everyone else, can be tempted to be part of this and to take up a sense of self-righteous anger and holding a position. It's not the way of Jesus. Again, there is space in the Gospels, we know, where Jesus gets angry, but not self-righteous anger and indignation. That's not what we're seeing Jesus operate out of. And some of you will be aware that so often, in fact, probably always, that self-righteous anger is a person who is focusing on that to avoid dealing with their own pain. Getting self-righteous and angry about this other thing over here, because then I can direct my emotional energy to that, and my own emotional hurt to that, instead of being honest and vulnerable enough to face and deal with my own pain, my own emotional pain. We live in a world where we see this. Am I right? Do you see this? Yeah. This is not Jesus' approach. Let us as Christians not partake in this pattern, but be willing to listen and build constructive understanding with other people, to build relationship, to lift people's eyes to something beyond themselves and to meet their practical needs in compassion and in love. This is an amazing picture of local mission. So Stoke Baptist, we will continue in prayer for those in our community and those we know. We will continue in prayer. We will ask the Lord to open our eyes for the practical needs that we might meet according to our means, according to our circumstances, and continue to disciple ourselves to Jesus. Because let's remember, he cares about the people in our community and he cares about the people we pray for even more than we do. He cares about your relatives and those people you pray for even more than you do. His passion and love for them is greater than yours. So be assured, the Lord is with you as you pray. And let us pray now.